Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the panel session on a night on call in the surgical intensive care unit. We've got an all-star cast of people who are going to provide us an opportunity to hear about updates in various aspects of critical care, and then we'll go into some case discussion. So first off will be four talks by the experts, followed by a find out how you're going to manage this type of patient. I would like to welcome my co-moderator, Dr. Deborah Stein from Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm Dr. Steve Johnson from Phoenix. Deb, you want to introduce our
panel? Good morning, everyone. Thank you guys for coming. Hopefully for the panel part of this, where we do some cases, that we really want audience participation, so we encourage you, please come up to the mic, give us your opinion. A lot of these things are going to be a matter of some debate, we hope. I do want to introduce our four speakers for this morning, and I'm just going to introduce them all at the same time, and then they'll come up one at a time and give us a little brief overview, and then we'll go in with the cases. The first will be Oscar Gulam-Mendegi. I should get points for being able to say that. He's Professor of Surgery and Trauma Medical Director and Vice Chair for Quality at Vanderbilt University. Next will be Dr. Mitch Cohen, who is a Professor of Surgery and a Distinguished Chair in Trauma Surgery at Denver Health. Third will be Dr. Matthew Lissauer, who's an Associate Professor of Surgery and Director of the Surgical Critical Care Fellowship at Robert Wood Johnson in New Jersey, and then Rosemary Kozar, who's Professor of Surgery and Director of Translational Research at the University of Maryland. So if you please join me in welcoming our first speaker, Dr. Gulam-Mendegi.
Good morning. It is a real pleasure and honor to be here and be thrown under the bus by Deb Stein. I'm hoping this bad boy's gonna work here. Yeah. I have no disclosures, except that Deb Stein knows everything about closed head injury, and I'm going to try and review a lot of that for some of you out there in the audience. The rest probably are no more than I do. The most important thing that I can tell you is that geriatric trauma is a problem. Bilal Joseph on Sunday told us that we have to get used to the fact that we are no longer taking care of gunshot wounds and patting ourselves on the back for being able to do ED thoracotomies and such and all these other cool and crazy things. The fact that we are going to be taking care of old people as trauma surgeons. 42 million people greater than 65 in the last census. 52 million by 2020. They are going to take up a lot of our resources. As I review all of the programs in the state of Tennessee, falls in the elderly have surpassed motor vehicle crashes in 2/3 of our trauma centers. That's huge. It's the fifth leading cause of death, and the mortality rate is 6 times greater for any given injury than if you're young. And by young, that's under 50, okay? I'm not young anymore. 30% will have some comorbidity, and why is that important? This is an old slide, but it still holds true today. For every pre-existing disease, your mortality doubles. 3%, 6%, 15%, 25%. 25% increase in relative mortality is huge when we start talking about traumatic brain injury. Why does that matter? Here's our numbers. In the year 2000, 37 was our mean trauma age. 10 years later, it climbed 10 years, and it's going to climb 10 more years in the next census. Why does that matter? 25% of our trauma population was over 65 in the year 2011. It's gone up to 30%. And if you have closed head injury, your risk of dementia rises rapidly. The first graph is 55, then 65, and the lower two are 75 and 80, and you will die if you're getting closed head injury over the age of 85. And hot off the presses yesterday, the medications we thought worked make no difference in outcomes. Shameless plug for my program. My main mentor, Wes Ely, runs the MIND trial. So we don't have medications to help these people. Why does it matter? If you have pre-existing diseases, everything we treat, our mortality is going down unless you have pre-existing disease states. It's the only aspect of what we do scientifically in trauma that's getting worse. And the proportion of deaths is the only aspect that's climbing of all ages, all types of trauma, is the elderly. So what do we know? 2018 Journal of Neurotrauma, the highest incidence of TBI is now occurring in older adults. 1 in 200 Americans and 1 in 50 over the age of 75 has experienced a TBI-related ED visit or hospitalization. My contention is that every one of our nursing homes has ropes set at 6 inches lined up all over the place with a dessert bowl of antiplatelet agents dressed up like mints. And all of these people are going around tripping. Cases per 100,000, deaths higher, hospitalizations higher, ED visits higher. It's becoming an epidemic. And that mechanism of injury is rising, and the gender-based for females is rising if we hit the age of 65. Stolen from Deb Stein, special considerations. GCS may be impacted by comorbidities and cognitive function. A mini mental status exam may be useful. We recommend detailed interviews by trained specialists, and that there are sensory deficits that are affecting these individuals that make them fall. Any geriatric patient with suspicion of TBI should get a head CT. They're not acting normal. They need a head CT. Mild TBI is truly a misnomer. It is a yoke around the neck of anybody that has it that lasts their lifetime. Their increased risk for cognitive failure, for mental health issues, and their long-term outcomes will not be mild. And then, of course, there's anticoagulation reversal, FFP, PCC, and protamine, along with vitamin K. One of the things that my ex-mentor, Addison May, well, not ex, he's still alive, but my mentor who left my institution, sadly, used to contend, and I truly believe this is real, we have to start worrying about what our mean arterial pressure is and what our higher systolic is, because these patients have hypertension, and if we don't manage that and know that they should have a higher driving blood pressure, we're going to cause more problems. ICP monitoring, we're not sure what to do. Cerebral perfusion targets are insufficient. It's associated with a decreased mortality. The Brain Trauma Foundation recommends target CPPs of 60 to 70. We still don't know what that means in the elderly. Operative intervention, gosh, this is really terrible. The DECRA trial and the RESCUE trial increased mortality or decreased mortality. But what we do know is that if you have to do a craniectomy, you are going to have a worse outcome. And we don't know what age we should stop doing that in the elderly. Finally, palliative care. Shameless plug for Kathy Maxwell, my our nurse that runs our frailty unit. Hospitalized injured older patients represent a population that benefits from palliative care. Our hope is that early intervention, better communication, are going to give us ways that promote dignity, compassion, and courage. I think that's very important. And finally, back to Deb, her recommendations are early palliative care. We need to be aware of what these individuals have lined up with their healthcare proxy, their advance directive, and the best thing we can do is talk to our patients' families about dignity at the end of life. It's not about withdrawing care. It's about maintaining dignity. And with that, I thank you for your time.